Well, good morning, church, again. Pastor Mike, and have the privilege to bring to you this morning's message. You know, before coming here to Toledo, I was a pastor in Dover, Ohio for 13 years. I've been in ministry for over 20 years, which seems crazy to say. Ministry and serving in the local church is a lot like life. It's filled with some really, really good stuff. There are days when you get to see firsthand a front row seat when people experience and say yes to Jesus. There are days when everyone appreciates and applauds the things you do. There are days when it feels like Jesus like specifically picked you to do something big and awesome for his kingdom. Some days serving the local church is just the best. But there are other days when it's not so good and not so happy. There are days and seasons that are filled with hardship and difficulty and pain and sadness. There are some days when you get a front row seat to see people walk away from Jesus, to walk away from the church. There are days when it feels like you're pushing on a brick wall and no one believes in you or wants to follow you. There are days when people point the finger right at you and say, you're the reason why I'm not happy. You're the reason I'm angry, and you're the reason why I'm leaving. Like I said, ministry and serving in the local church is a lot like real life. There's good stuff and hard stuff. Early on in ministry, I began the practice of remembering those times where I knew that God showed up for a fact, where God moved and where people said yes. In my office in Dover, Ohio, I began to put up pictures of experiences and memories that were impactful, special places that were in my heart. Things like fall retreats with our students or life conferences, missions trips, things like that. So when I look at that wall, I remember who God is, and I remember what God has done. And even though sometimes it feels like you kind of walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know that God isn't done. I can still count on him to do big and amazing things now and in the future because he's done it in the past. And he's been faithful. And I know that he can do it again. A.W. Tozer said, anything God has ever done, he can do now. Anything God has ever done anywhere, he can do here. Anything God has ever done for anyone, he can do for you. Let's pray. Father God, we do just thank you for this time that we get to stand here and be here in your presence as the word is proclaimed. God, thank you so much for giving us your word, that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Jesus, may we receive the things that you want us to hear today. God, may we not leave here changed. May we leave here changed is what I meant. God, you are good. You are faithful. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, so today we're going to be looking at Psalm 77. And then it's going to set us up for a time of testimony and stories of remembering how God has been good and faithful this past year. But let me give you a little background here on Psalm 77. Psalm 77 is a psalm of disorientation. Like, if you remember when we looked at Psalm 30 around Thanksgiving time, the psalms are divided up into three categories. We have orientation, disorientation, and new orientation. Psalms of orientation are filled with and articulate joy and delight and celebration of the harmony and the reliability of God, of his creation, and his word. Psalms of disorientation are the opposite. They speak to human life that is filled with tragedy and hurt and pain and sadness. Then there are psalms of new orientation. These are psalms that are kind of coming out of the seasons of hurt and pain, where there's new situations and new opportunities and new seasons, new life. Is this sounding familiar a little bit? Hopefully so. So Psalm 77 is a disorientation psalm. It is specifically lamenting the destruction of Jerusalem and the captivity of Israel. The Lord is basically stripping away his people from their land, from their community, from their way of life. And so the people have a sense of rejection. When Jerusalem fell to the hands of the Babylonians, many, many people were killed. And then many, many more were taken into captivity into Babylon. Asaph is the writer of this psalm. He is a singer. He is a musician. And he was actually left behind to minister to those who didn't go, those who didn't make the cut to go into Babylon. Asaph is in bed, and he's suffering. And he is remembering and wrestling with the reality of where he finds himself and the reality of where his people are in. So Psalm 77, starting in verse 1, let's read there. I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched the Lord. All night long, I prayed with hands lifted toward heaven. But my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. You didn't let me sleep. I am too distressed even to pray. I think of the good old days long since ended, when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I search my soul and ponder the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? So unable to sleep, Asaph, he begins to pray. And he cries out to God. And crying out to God in times of trouble, in the times of heartache, it's a pretty natural response. Right? We plead to the Lord and we plead that he's going to answer. Plead that he's going to show up and stop our pain and stop the heartache. And Asaph, he's a worship leader. So he's used to raising his hands in worship as he worshiped the Lord in his temple and as he led his people in worship. But now he reaches out his hands in darkness, hoping to grasp for something, and he finds no comfort. Anyone ever felt like this? Anyone experienced this exact same thing? When you lay in bed at night, asking God why, searching for answers, why did the cancer happen? Why did he leave? Why haven't you found that special someone yet? Why did your baby die? Why won't your child come home? These are questions. And many more questions like this is what keeps us up at night. Asaph had questions. And as he reflected upon his life circumstances, all he could do, as verse 3 tells us, is moan. He felt God had abandoned him, failed him and his people. And all he could do was moan in agony. But I want us to consider this. As we reflect on the person and character of God, has God failed him? Well, the fact that God is willing to correct his people is actually proof of his love. It's proof of his faithfulness. The Lord gave many warnings that his people were breaking the covenant between God and them. And his people were seeking other things more so than God himself. They were becoming a nation of idolatry. And this is not good. So God, because he is loving, because he wanted the best for for his people. He stepped in. It's no different than a father and mother correcting their child. Why does a father and mother correct their child? You know, I've seen too many parents, moms and dads, who simply don't care. They don't correct. They don't teach. They're not there for their children. They don't speak into their lives. They're just absent. And the fact that God is present is proof of his love. It's proof of his love. And Asaph, he was in bed, and he asked six specific questions in verses 7 through 8, which speak to the very nature and character of God, which is extremely important for you and I to know and remember. He says, has God rejected me? No. God is Abba Father, the one who is faithful and who loves his children. Asaph says, he asks, will he ever again show his favor to Israel? Yes. God is Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides all that we need. Has his unfailing love vanished forever? No. He is Yahweh. He is the compassionate and gracious, and he is slow to anger, and he is abounding in love. Has his promises failed? No. He is El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty, who keeps his promises, who keeps his covenants. Has he forgotten to be gracious? No. He is Jehovah Shema, the one who is near, dwelling with, and never abandoning. Is he slow to anger that he won't show compassion? No. He is Jehovah Nisi, the one who is our protection, the one who is our guide, the one who gives us victories over our enemies. Church, this is why remembering is so important. Who God is, and what he's already done, and what he promises to do. So when we lie in bed at night doubting God in the darkness, we can call to our minds and we can remember what God has already revealed and what God has already done in the light. And that's exactly what Asaph does next. Look at verse 10. And I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. But then I recall all that you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago, and they are constantly in my thoughts, and I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Asaph, he makes a decision. Okay, he is determined to change his thinking, determined to change his attitude, to change his posture of pity and grief and doubt. And then he says, I remember all that you have done. Because here's the truth. God doesn't change. Our situations do. Our circumstances do. But not God. And Asaph made a decision to meditate on what God has done for Israel in the past, and then tries to see what God is doing now. But he made a choice, he made a decision to put himself in position to be in the presence of the Lord. And he is not the only one who's done this in Scripture. Moses did this in Exodus 19. As God is establishing a covenant between God and the people of Israel, Moses climbs this mountain to put himself in the position to be in the presence of God. And when he did that, what did God do? The Lord revealed himself to Moses. But he made a choice. He made an act of the will to put himself there on that mountain. Jumping ahead 2,400 years later, Elijah did the same thing. In one of the most famous stories in the Bible, right? 1 Kings 18. Elijah battles the false prophets of Baal in a contest to determine which God is real. Elijah's God shows up. Our God shows up. And he wins. The king's wife, Jezebel, is furious, and she makes this declaration that I'm going to go kill Elijah, is what she says. And you know what Elijah does? He goes to the mountain of God. He put himself in a position to be in the presence of God. And when he did that, the Lord revealed himself to Elijah. Elijah, just like Moses, just like Asaph, they had made a decision to put themselves in the presence of the Lord. Church family, there will be times when you too are going to have to make that decision. Because I promise you, life is not going to work out the way that you think it should. There are going to be times of hardship and grief and major disappointments and disruptions. And it is okay to be sad. It is okay to question and to ask God for answers. But eventually, you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to stay there in the doubt? Are you going to stay in the grief and the anger and the frustration? Or will you recall to your mind who God is and what he has done in your life? And then are you going to hold tightly on to that and all the promises in his word and then put yourself in a position to be in the presence of God? Look at verse 13. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrated your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. And you led your people along the road like a flock of sheep, with Moses and Aaron as its shepherds. I don't know if you noticed in there, but Asaph changed the pronouns from I and my to you, referring to the Lord. When we look at our circumstances, when we focus on ourselves, we don't see hope. But when we look at the Lord, though, our circumstances may not change, but we certainly do. Asaph didn't solve all of his problems and issues, did he? But he did move out of the shadow, and he found peace, and he found confidence of God as he remembered. First, he looked by faith and rejoiced in the greatness of God. Verses 13 through 15. He recognized who God is, and he recognized what God has done, that all his ways are holy, and his purposes are always right, even if we don't see them. And then Asaph looked back. He looked back to Israel's exodus from Egypt, which was proof of God's grace. It was proof of his power and provision. He remembered and he recalled to his mind the incredible miracle of God parting the Red Sea. This event was passed down from generation to generation, continuing to remind God's people of who he is, of what he did, what he's done, and what he promises to do. Asaph concludes this psalm by remembering that God is the good shepherd. That God is the good shepherd. Verse 20, you led your people along the road like a flock of sheep. That it was God who would be the one to take care of his people. That it was God who would be the one to protect. God, who's the one who provides all that Asaph and his people would ever need and would ever want, God would do it. He is the good shepherd. And as we submit to the good shepherd, we don't have anything to fear. And we don't have anything to worry about as we are in his presence. Church family, as you reflect on the character and person of God, when you do that, you will find confidence. And at times, you're going to need to remember that because life is not going to go your way. Here's a picture of the wall in my office today. Pictures and memories of what God has done since we've showed up here in Toledo. Proving his goodness. Proving his faithfulness. It helps me get through those kind of rough days. So what are the things that God has done that you recall to your mind when you need encouragement? What are your pictures? What are your memories? We're going to move into a time of testimony. And the reason why we're going to do this is, number one, we're going to give glory to God. And through these stories, the second thing that I hope is going to happen is that it's going to encourage your faith as you hear from your church family about what has happened this year. So there's no particular order to this. I'm going to ask Rosalie, you're the first one who volunteered to do this, so you get to come forward. And we have about 5 or 6 people who are just going to share some stories.
When Pastor Mike gave us this opportunity, I just could not pass it up because I wanted to share with you, my church family, who I love dearly, what has happened to me this past year in 2025. One big thing that happened was, well, first of all, I want to start with this. Psalm 68:19, and I don't know which one it falls into the category. But praise be to the Lord, to God, our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. Praise his holy name. And I repeat that again, just praise his holy name. In May, I had a routine physical, and normally I pass it with flying colors. And the doctor said to me, "Oh, Rosalie," he said, you have kidney failure. And this was from my blood work. And so God does give us doctors who are very smart. And because our family enjoys sports, I called my doctor, Dr. Malik, my coach. And he sent me immediately to my quarterback specialist. And interestingly, we were in a playoff action immediately. I had a very good quarterback. He tossed me about to all kinds of receivers. He sent me to UTMC. He sent me to a urologist that took me down to St. Vincent's and put in a kidney stent. Then he sent me out to Flower Hospital. And after many tests, the second MRI showed that I had a huge mass in my lower abdomen. So on June 6th, in Toledo Hospital, my fourth hospital that I went to, admitted me for surgery. And Dr. Walter and his team delivered a 4-pound ovarian cyst. And it had no cancer in it. They had to do that test. We just need to praise our Lord. It was 4 pounds. Football doesn't have a 4-pound or a 4-point schedule, but it was a 4-pounder. And after recovery, my squashed kidney revived. And I have gone on to recovery. Our Lord has been so good to me. And I want to praise him again. Praise his holy name. Forgive me this opportunity to share just this short story with you. But I want to share with you from Joshua 1:9 because I know the Lord still has a work for me to do, even in my old age. Every day, He appoints us to talk to someone, to pray for someone, just to be there for them. So I praise him for that. But I want to leave with you Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Praise his holy name.
I want to start with a quote from Joni Erickson Tada. Heartache forces us to embrace God out of a desperate, urgent need. God is never closer than when your heart is aching. 2025 began in a joyous family trip to Nashville. Greg and I drove to a lovely Airbnb with our daughters, son-in-laws, and grandkids. It was both a celebration of the new year and grueling time for Greg and I. He was very weak. We made a memory for all of us. It was an honor to be Greg's caregiver. I did not do it alone. Family and friends walked by our side. Several prayers were said on our behalf. We received tons of support and dozens of cards to encourage us. I was going to bring a box, the box that I keep all the cards in, but I didn't. It was this tall, this many cards from all of you, and I really thank you for that. Greg's motto was, I just want to give God the glory. He told many visitors of his desire. By the way, Greg was diagnosed and in recovery. Mind you, he's laying in recovery, coming out of anesthesia, and he said, he looked at me and he said, it's cancer. God is in control, and he's still on the throne. When I got to my car, I screamed, my life will never be the same. My Greggy's words echo in my head to this day. God is in control, and he's still on the throne. Lynn Camford told me, as hard as this time will most likely be, it can be the sweetest times of your life. Fast forward to May 1st, inpatient move to hospice of Northwest Ohio. He was in home hospice for 9 months. Even in his dying days, he was given the salvation message to his daughters. Greg's address changed on May 7th. I believe he is singing hallelujah with all the saints. The following months have been the most heavy and tough ever. God has given me glimpses of new beginnings he has for me. I was surprised when I danced for joy in my kitchen. As God's joy returned, I will always mourn the loss of my husband. And God is so apparent by walking with me as I close my eyes at night and wake up in the morning. It is my prayer I stay in step with him and trust him wholeheartedly. Praise the Lord, we belong to him. He cannot fail. Quoting Pastor Greg Laurie, when we're in pain, he feels that pain as well. Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. And I trust the Lord today.
Hi, everybody. I got released from prison in June of this year, and it's been a crazy little ride. I was supposed to go to Lima, but last minute they changed it to coming to Toledo. And I had a lot of free time on my hands the first couple weeks. So I did a lot of soul searching and reading my Bible and trying to find out if there's church, because I was going to church in prison and it helped me a lot through a lot of things. And they mentioned something about Celebrate Recovery. So I started going to Celebrate Recovery with Hollywood and Jennifer. And I started bugging them about church too. And they said Ohio Link doesn't do church at the moment. So I kind of had to be by myself with God and my Bible. It took maybe 2 or 3 weeks, but Jennifer finally approached me about church, and it was only for, I guess, the privileged, and I guess, like, the ones that didn't receive any write-ups or anything. So I instantly told her yes, that I'd come, and I wasn't really sure at first how I'd feel about church coming here, but it's basically, like, for me, it's church back home, only bigger. More people, more bigger stage and everything. The church that I came from was a lot smaller. Everybody knew everybody. I don't know everybody yet. And last year, I know this doesn't pertain to this year, but last year I was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And I've been struggling with that, with treatments. And as of a couple months ago, my numbers are down by 30%. And I get, I go this Friday for scans. And I'm hoping and praying that my numbers continually go down so I can get a surgery done for a reversal.
Good morning, First Alliance Church. My name is Luke. Most of you guys know me, but if you don't, my father was teaching the sermon last week, and he just did a wonderful job, and just wanted to kind of give him a shout out, just how wonderful he's doing and just what a role model he is in my life. When Mike asked me if I wanted to come up and just kind of talk a little bit about my year, I was a little apprehensive about it. I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to say. I've had a pretty busy year. It hasn't been too hectic compared to previous years that I've had. Health-wise, I'm doing very well. Everything is going well with my family. No recurrence of the cancer that I had back in 2022 and 2023 has come back. So that's just an absolute blessing from God. And such a praise for your guys' prayers and your guys' love that you guys have showed me these past couple years. So it's been such a blessing to have such a wonderful family that is just continually going to be showing support to everyone that they come across. This year, I got accepted into my program at the University of Toledo to work towards being a respiratory therapist. So starting that in the summer, continuing it in this fall semester has been extremely busy. And it's just kind of added a newfound outlook in my life, especially in regards to community, because being in the program, it's a little bit more time-consuming than just being in my previous 2 years of college. I've kind of had to step back from a lot of the things that I've enjoyed. I spend a great amount of time with a church up in Michigan that has a young adults group that is just wonderful, and I love the people that are there, and I've had to kind of take a step back from helping out with youth group, and I just love those youth kids, and they're just remarkable kids, and just kind of, as much as I'm there for them, they're there for me as well. I've also had to take a step back from kind of some Toledo organizations like Crew that I enjoy going to and enjoy the community that is in there. So I've had to really focus on school, which has led me to had to spend a lot of time studying, a lot of time just working on the craft that I'll be doing for the rest of my life. And while taking a step back from all these organizations that I've been a part of, it's just kind of reminded me of the importance of community and the importance of just a loving family that that I've had in the past that I've kind of had to take a step back from, and I haven't had the blessing of kind of being as involved with as usual. So it's just really important and really great to know that there's so many communities and life groups that are at First Alliance that I would just kind of recommend trying to get involved with and just joining your church and talking to people and getting to know more and more people and new people, because that community has been the driving factor in my life and just so motivating to me in everything that I do. And losing it in a sense has been difficult, and regaining it is really important to me. So, yep.
I'm not Luke, I'm Jean. There we go. Looking back over this past year, one thing I'm really thankful for is Dave, and he had two knee replacements this year, and God got him through that with no complications, and I'm just so thankful. And we celebrated 40 years of marriage this year, so that was another great thing. So another thing that we've just been through is my niece and her father, Dave's brother, had been estranged for a good number of years, and we could never have the whole family together. And Emily, my niece, has really grown in the Lord, and she's found her way to forgiveness. And Dave's brother has also been growing some in the Lord, and we had their whole family over the other day, about 20 people, and it was just such a joy to see everyone together and the peace and the forgiveness and the just repairing of broken relationships. Really thankful for that. Also, our daughter, it's been 9 years ago, like a thunderclap in our lives, she told us that she was entering a gay lifestyle, and it's been the hardest thing we've ever been through. Lots of nights like the picture that you showed, but we're just really thankful for a strong relationship with her right now, and we are looking for God to bring the healing that we know he can bring, and we're just counting on him, and I hope one day to stand up here and share that with you. And I just can't help saying, you know, there's things that come into people's lives that they don't expect, they're not looking for. I think you weren't looking for this job, okay? And it came, and I just, I'm so thankful to see your family rise up to the challenge, every one of you. And so thankful that you're here, and looking forward to what God's going to continue to do.
I feel after this morning's message and all these beautiful testimonies that I should just say ditto and sit down. But I am thankful for the opportunity to praise the Lord for his healing work in my life this summer. Many of you know that I had two rather significant conditions, a rather large aneurysm in my aorta, and the need for replacement of the mitral valve in my heart. And an old hymn that kept going through my mind at this time was called "Our Heavenly Father Watches Over Me." And it was interesting, and when Pastor Mike came up to the hospital right before my first surgery, the scripture that he picked out was Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress and my rock something. My God, in him will I trust. In other words, my Heavenly Father watches over me. I not only want to thank him for the healing touch he had on my body, but I want to thank him for the peace that he gives. My wife and I were both so aware of his presence, and we thank you, church family, and so many others who were praying for your faithfulness in prayer. So many verses came to my mind, such as Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that peace that passes all understanding was so very real to us. We not only have a God who loves us and watches over us, but when we commit our lives to him, we have his presence within us. As we face a new year, I'm so grateful that we can ask the Lord to handle all of our trials and concerns. He is sovereign and he is in control. He tells us to rejoice in the Lord, to be thankful in all things, to pray without ceasing. Or as Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in trial, constantly remember to pray. We are children of the King, and I praise him that we can cast all our care upon the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise his name.